what does Independence Day really mean to you? You know, I think about the independence, and they wanted to be free from England, so they wouldn't have control over them. The Declaration of Independence was adopted in July 2nd, 1776. And that same day, there were British ships sailed into the New York Harbor, itching for trouble. On the 3rd of July, the New York signed the Declaration. That was the last one. And then in July 4th, 1777, it was a different story, because that was the first celebration of the 4th of July. The ships, I don't know that it was the same ships, but they were ships in the harbor, and each ship fired 13 guns to enumerate the 13 colonies. This was followed by fireworks, elegant dinner, military demonstration, a Haitian band, ring of bells, and to begin their fireworks, they shot off 13 rockets. To end their fireworks, they shot off 13 rockets. I thought to myself, at least I'm most past 4th of July that I recall, that when they start the local city fireworks, they shoot that one up there and it shakes your back teeth. But the thing is that back in those days, they decided to better cease with the cannons and the gunfire, because they were shooting guns all over the place for the sake of safety. So the gunfire has faded out, or should have, except that last night, I understand, there probably was gunfire around as the demonstrations of the real world in which we live showed itself. This morning, I'd like to speak of our Declaration of Independence, the Bible. Given by God, signed by God's own Son with his blood, delivered by the Holy Spirit. One of the brothers read part of Corinthians 3 and 4, where it says, I also received how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's our independence. Later on in that 15th chapter of Corinthians, beginning in verse 54, it says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, back in John 16:33, gave us a warning. He says, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So let's face the facts that we live today in the world. Don't have to be of the world. And the thoughts this morning are such that, mostly of all, being scripture, that our Lord is concerned about us in the world. Got to thinking this morning of those that were tempted in the scripture. We know that Job, being tempted, he was a man that worshiped regularly. The Lord Jesus was tempted in the scripture, and others as well in the Old Testament were tempted to fail in the New Testament. So is temptation still here? Is it coming from us? Probably not. But we can be the recipients thereof. Because the same devil does not like it if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He doesn't want you to live for Christ. And he also knows that if you don't know Jesus Christ, the more you can look like the world, act like the world, and do what the world does, the more chances you'll meet with him in the place called hell one day. because he knows he's going there. So when we think about this, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The savor there is not savior, it's savor, meaning that of tasting. Have we tasted the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have we tasted the knowledge of God and what he wants us to know about himself and why we should be, because we are his pure in this world? Have we tasted of his activity in our life as we walk day by day? I'm sure most of you would recognize that we've tasted of safety as he keeps us safe as we move about on this planet Earth. I thought about the planet Earth and the world. You know, the world, you see a world map, but then the world we're talking about today is everybody and everything around us. So the thing is that we also realize that we have tasted health. We're here. Blessings, multitude of blessings. And in many cases, we have tasted triumph. By that, meaning that we have overcome those things which by myself in this flesh I could not do without him. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How conformed am I to the world? But more so, how conformed am I to the body of Christ? To look like Christ, to walk like Christ, to think like Christ. Do you think when you do things, you do it as unto the Lord or for the Lord? Or is it unto those neighbors that are watching, or those that might say something good or bad about us? John says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. As we live our life out in this world till the Lord takes us home, which he will in his time, when he gives us that last breath, we are still susceptible, if you please, to sinning. Daily, because we still have the old nature. We still have an adversary. Oh yes, we have a guide, we have a savior, and he's going with us, and he will direct us, and he will not allow that adversary to attack us unless we need honed, perhaps. Only by his will can the devil take charge of us. So what is our world? What's it all about? Well, a word that comes to mind, first of all, is cruel. As I watch some of these demonstrations on the television, and the no concern for human life or broken bones or anything else, it's all cruel. It's sinful. Why? Lost. Because they're lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know that they have a soul, that all those around them they're affecting have a soul. Our world is selfish. Why are they doing these things? Well, they want it our way. And they really don't know what their way is. I'm not sure how these statues can affect my life, just because they stand there and look out across the fields or the cities or the streets. They have no bearing on us except to remember, not like we remember the Lord, but remember those lives that were spent in some way to better America. So if we're going to tear those apart, why? Because we're angry, because it's not going my way. So the thing is that we have to think about it down the line as in a personal way. When we look in the scripture, we should always go there personally, letting God speak to us about our own personal things. People come to meetings and say, oh, that really hit so-and-so, you know. But the trouble is that everybody wears a pair of shoes in here, and sometimes the toes get stepped on. The question is, have I overcome the world? Can you say that you have? Scripture says, come ye out from amongst them and be ye separate. Do you leave when things are untasty as far as language, stories, atmosphere, and or just the world? Jesus in his high priestly prayer said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctify, set apart. When we get saved, the Lord sets us apart as being on the shelf in his child's picture album, if you please. We're his. But do we dare to be different than the world in which we live? Do we dare to try to reach them? Jesus said to the Pharisees that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. To live for Christ. What is truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So if he's the truth, when we come to know him, then we are free. And the truth makes us free. And he stays with us. He says also in that 8th chapter, he says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, the sheriff can turn you out of your jail cell and you're free to go. What about free to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus? In the Epistle of John, he says, I love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How can I show the love of God if I love the world or any part of it and all its bells and whistles? So what is the world? Let's come apart for now from the riots and the like. Normal everybody people that live in the houses around you, in our town, your town. Things. Cocktail parties. Social drinking, closet drinking, off-color stories, bad language, tattoos, gossip. The string can go on and on and on. But you say, would a Christian do these things? We're not above it. You look around and you hear the stories of those that have preached the gospel for years and then all of a sudden decided to run off with a piano player. Things that should never happen only because, poor little me, I deserve it. We today are kept by faith, faith in the Lord Jesus, who is a solid rock. Scripture says that the foundation can no man lay but that which is laid. That's Christ Jesus. Everyone that overcomes the world, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So the question comes down to me. Do I want to overcome the world? Or are there some things in there that I like to keep? Just because it satisfies my desires or want-tos or my status in life. It's all around me. But the question really is, do I share my faith with the world that's around me? I got an email last night. Some folks that their life is witnessing, period. And they are in New York area. And they said they've never found it so easy to witness as now. People don't get mad at you if you ask if you could pray for them. They don't hate you if you want to read a scripture to them. I'm reading a book on Corrie Ten Boom and her incarcerations, and thousands of women and men incarcerated during the wartime. And yet, there was time in that darkness, though you might get slapped with a big strap or made to stand for many, many hours in the cold, still the gospel went out to console, to comfort, and it hasn't changed. A lot of those around us in this world are hurting. They don't know why. They can't find anything to fix it in a bottle, in a fight, in an argument. Doesn't fix it because it's in the heart, a place where the Lord wants to dwell. If you were of the world would love you, love its own. But because you're not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Does the world hate me? Think about it. Does the world dislike me because I know Jesus, because I stand for Christ and have a desire to tell others about him? John says, "You are little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than in the world. They are the world's, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Who speaks to you? Is it the world, or the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the darkness of this world? The Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus Christ, will speak to you, because he's indwelling you. The third part of the Trinity indwells us, and he wants to speak to us and guide us. And so as we think about that, we should be under the influence of the divine spirit and have and can overcome the world. Our testimony proceeding from the Spirit of Christ, because it validated there which had proceeded from the influence of Satan. For greater is the Holy Spirit which is in you than the spirit which is in the world. Have you ever felt led of the Spirit to move forward and speak to somebody about the Lord? Way back yonder, probably 50 years close to it, we lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was going to school half days and working an eight-hour shift. And we lived upstairs in this apartment, and there was a little old man that lived next door. He's always sitting out on his porch rocking his chair, and I knew I should go talk to him. And one day I came home from work, and my wife says, "You know what?" And I says, "No, what?" And she says, "Our neighbor died too late." He was of the Catholic persuasion, because his son, who was a priest, came and visited him from time to time. But regardless of all of that, that's no excuse for Duane Brown and his lackness of following the Spirit's direction. Scripture says everything that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Everybody in the world is seeking to be satisfied with something. I was thinking just a moment ago, and this is kind of chasing a rabbit, but I'll put it in here. All the fireworks that went off last night, some in areas where they couldn't afford fireworks, and I thought to myself, they're just blowing up a loaf of bread because they can't eat that fireworks nor the smoke. Did that satisfy that inner desire? Probably not, because they got to shoot another one off. We different ones brought fireworks where we were last night, so our entourage, so to speak, went on more than a half hour. But the dangers of it all, they all look alike to me, you know, they're just boom, boom. Red, white, and green. Some sparkle, some don't. But one fell over, and the guys were running. What's that tell you? You play with fire, you might get burnt. You play with the world, your testimony may suffer. Whether it be private or not. We can go back to the verse that you sang here this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Just believe and you're on your way. Oh, I gotta do. Gotta do, gotta do, gotta do. Most every denomination teach you got to do. And after in Ephesians 2:10, he says you'll be doing, but he has it prepared for you to do after you get changed. And we do because we are saved, not because it's going to save us. So it's true that it's a free salvation. He wants to love us away from the world. 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus told the truth, if you please, in love. He wants us to go and be prepared to meet him in the air. Paul says in Colossians, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do ye submit to its rules? If we've been delivered, why do we submit to its rules? Not the rules of the road, because he admonishes us to honor and obey the governor, those that govern us around us. But the fact remains that he also wants us to obey himself. The old nature and the temptations. The old story went, you know, that when the fellow was called into court for some radical thing that he had done, and he told the judge, well, the old man made me do it. The Spirit does not make us do it. Only our desires cause us to fall and do those things. As Christians, if we've died to sin, why do we get involved in the things of the world? The world is such that it will treat its own accordingly. In most cases, it's every man for himself. And yet the Bible says each man shall give an account of himself to God. In the first chapter of John, it says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, that is Jesus, but the world knew him not. You know what? They still don't. Many don't want to. I got word, I don't consider it to be gossip, but it's just something someone told me, and certainly could be true, that two young men from this area, one of which was serving abroad, are both now confirmed atheists. Why? Was it disappointment in what God did? I think not. Was it disappointment in what I expected? Possibly so. But what about faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men still love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They prefer to be in those places where that the flesh, personal desires, friends' guidance, and the things that will cause us difficulty are found. Peter Marshall said, may we think of freedom not as a right to do as we please, but as an opportunity to do what is right. An opportunity to do what is right. Is it right to tell someone that eternity is ahead? Is it right to mention to them that we're on a road that direction and we will die? And it is the point that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Is it right to warn them that unless they trust Jesus Christ as Savior, there's no hope? With no hope, it doesn't satisfy. With no hope, it doesn't clear the air in front of us. It just keeps us going on with no hope. When we have hope in Jesus Christ, we look forward to his coming. We look forward to gathering here each Lord's Day and remembering the price paid for our sin. We look forward to seeing friends in Christ, conversing, fellowshipping, and so forth. And we look forward to these things because there is a oneness, the oneness in Christ. That oneness in Christ should, through the Spirit, rule our lives. And when we seek fellowship or someone to drink coffee with, unless it's an errand of evangelism, it better be that we would have it with one that loves the Lord, such as you. Because the conversation as such can be on the Lord's things rather than the things of the world. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So in that I am personally responsible for myself and the decisions I make relative to the world around me. Oh, I'll never get lost again. But as I look back over the years and people's lives that I've touched, some of which I wouldn't know if they walked through that door, what will it do to them when I fall? If I fall. What do we do with the world? We go on and pray for them, hopefully live for them in this life to reach them by action, by word, and of course, the word along with prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about this independence, it's ours. We didn't deserve it, but it's ours. And we can hang on to it and live in it in freedom, with joy, with our hand in Christ, walking on because we belong to him. We're his and he is ours, and we will have all eternity together. So let's try to take someone with us. Celebrate this time of independence of America, the independence and your independence in Christ. by telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning without Christ, let me say that today is the best day. Because the Lord said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the time when you know and realize that I am going to die. I have to prepare. A classmate of mine expired recently, and she never did want to hear anything about the Bible. And I think about a little bit about Corey as she was in front of a notable person. She read him the Bible, and he told her to shut up, but she kept on reading. Many times the power of the Word of God can be done only if you plant it. Scripture says that some sow, some water, but he gives the increase. I drove around to the countryside and showed my son-in-law, who was here visiting. My wife and his wife took him to the plane this morning. But as we traveled around, he was awed at all the cornfields and the corn and the soybeans and everything. And he commenced to ask questions about the corn that I couldn't answer. But the thing is, he found it difficult to think about all that corn and how it gets from there to the markets. And then as we talked a little further in, he learned of some of the expenses of raising the corn and so forth. It wasn't all that profitable, shall we say. And so it is with life. It may cost you to plant the gospel, but we can't forget to fertilize it with prayer and the Word of God, because you don't talk to man about God until you first talk to God about man. Anytime. Oh yes, there are times when you meet someone and you want to give them a witness. And it will be a silent prayer between you and God. But remember, for his guidance in that conversation, that he will come out glorified on the other end. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the time together. We thank, though this shorter perhaps, we realize that there are much to think about as we look around us in the world, lives, and those that can and do affect us. We pray that they will not affect our stand in Christ and our witness, but that we'll hold our head high above the world and face the temptations and the challenges that Jesus allows to come our way with our hand in his, depending on him at all times to guide us on through and to guide us in the future for that which he'd have in our lives. Direct us each one this day. And Lord, if there's one here today without Christ, we pray that they would turn to him today before it's everlastingly too late. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.